You know, I'm starting Grace for Living, and the verse I've started out with this morning, Psalms 100, going along with what he just said. Make a what kind of noise?
Joyful.
Woo! Unto the Lord, all ye lands, not some of the lands, all ye lands, and serve the Lord with sadness.
Gladness.
Huh? Oh, gladness. Okay. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, and he hath made us, and not we ourselves. Who made us?
He did.
And not we ourselves. You know, that's not a bad deal. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. And be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. All generations. Be thankful. You know that word thankful is a big word. And you know it really just means be grateful. Just get it down to what it really means. Be grateful. Be appreciative. Be thankful for what he's done. Be grateful for what he's done. That Hebrew word's grateful. Just be grateful unto him. You know, the more you understand grace, the more grateful you are. Because you realize we didn't make ourselves. He's the one that made us, and not we ourselves. And we are his sheep of his pasture. You know, if you're legalistic and religious, you think you have an obligation and a commitment, and you have to be in church. Because why? You have to be committed. Why? So you can please God. But a gracious guy knows he don't have any rights at all to be here. We just get to be here because of what he's done for us, and we can serve the Lord with gladness and not sadness because of who he is and what he's done for us. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you, Lord, just to open our ears to hear the grace that you have for us, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Lord. Colossians chapter 2. We'll go about 20 minutes here and have communion, and then that'll leave me something to do next week. Not that I ever run out of anything to do. Colossians chapter 2. Oh. Paul saying, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order. Your what? Your order. Though I'm not here, I am with you in the spirit, beholding your order. And he says, and the steadfastness of your faith. The steadfastness of your faith. And he says in verse 6, as ye therefore have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. How did you receive the Lord Jesus? By grace through faith. So what do we do now? Walk in him. That's how we're to walk in him. Holding the order of your character. See, that word is character there. Seeing your character and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Guess what the little word in means? Into. Your faith into Christ. By grace you're saved by faith into Christ. And that not of yourselves. You're in him. He has made us into Christ. And verse 7 says rooted and what? Built up. Rooted in other places says grounded. Rooted and built up in him. Established in the faith. Established in the faith as you've been taught. Abounding therein with what? Thanksgiving or gratefulness. Oh, I'm telling you. You know, and it talks about all the curses in Deuteronomy 28. And it says, all these curses shall overtake you because you serve not the Lord your God with gratefulness, thanksgiving, and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things he's given you. Why does a curse come? Because you're not thankful. You're not grateful. You know, when you're not grateful, that's because you still see it's something that he has to do and you have to do. I'm telling you, it's finished. Amen. He sat down expecting what? Some of his enemies? All of his enemies to be made his footstool. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's look over there just a second. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm telling you, we've been placed into Christ. We're in union. We're in communion with him, and we can't get out of him. Isn't that wonderful? That's why we serve the Lord with gladness. You know what? With joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Amen. With what?
Joy
is the bucket.
That's right.
Joy is the bucket to the wells of salvation. A Holy Ghost and what? Joy. Been baptized with the Holy Ghost and joy. Woo-wee. Hebrews chapter 12. God. Verse 27 says, and this word yet once more signifying the removing of those things that are shaken. What? A removing. You know, the old covenant has been taken away. It's been taken away. The removing of all those things that are shaken, of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken shall remain. The things, his kingdom cannot be shaken. Wherefore, we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have what? Whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. We are receiving a kingdom. You know what? That makes it sound like it's coming. I'm telling you, it's already here. Just what he said. That word receiving means to take. It comes from that same word that we read of in John chapter 1. As many as received him, labano means to grasp and take to yourself. We're not waiting for a kingdom to come. We're taking the kingdom. The kingdom is here. Take it. He said, take it. It's from that same word that we got that labano. Take it. We have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Oh. And how are we going to serve God acceptably with reverence and what? Godly fear. For our God is a what? Consuming fire. You know, in Hebrews 13:9, it says that we what? It's a good thing that the heart be established with what? Grace and not with meats, not with legalism. Have your heart established. You know, there's only one problem. Ezekiel 36:26 says God's going to give you a new heart and a new spirit. He'll take away the stony heart, and he'll give you a heart of flesh, and he'll put his spirit within you and cause you to walk in his ways. See, the problem is that old heart cannot be established with grace. Because it's legalistic, it's established by works, and it always wants to what? Do something to please God. That's why he had to give us a new heart. Because the old heart will never be saved. It can never be saved. That's why he gives us a new one that's established in his love. Jeremiah 24:7, I'll give you a heart of love to know me. Why? Because God is love. And Hebrews 8 says, I'll put my laws in their hearts and in their minds while I write them, and I'll be their God, and they'll be my people, and they'll not say to every man, know the Lord, for everyone will know from the least to the greatest. And you know why? Because he gives you a heart to know him. If you're born again, he gives you a heart to know who he is and to know him. Amen. The Message Bible in 1 Corinthians 4:7 says this. He's talking to those that's trying to, you know, when Paul said, you know, you carnally, he says, you're reigning as kings. He said, would to God you were kings, I'd reign with you. Because you've set yourself up, and it says here, for who do you know that really knows you, knows your heart? And even if they did, is there anything they would discover in you that you could take credit for? Isn't everything you have and everything you are a sheer gift from God? So what's the point of all this comparing and competing? What's the point? He said, what is it you got that you didn't get as a gift? And if you got it as a gift, why are you boasting as if you earned it? Or you got it by your own works? Now, Paul was talking to somebody that come behind in no gifts. They had all the gifts flowing. They were it. And he said, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his son. And then he says, you're carnal. You're walking as mere men. You're boasting about what you got. And he said, would you get it? If you got it, it's a gift. So they that compare themselves among themselves are what? Not wise, he said. You're fools. So quit it, he said to them. All right, Romans 6:22. It says here, let's look in Romans chapter 6, verse 22. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Ooh, come on now. I like that word fruit in that front. It says, what fruit had you in those things wherein you're now ashamed? There's no fruit in that. For the end of those things is death. You know, the fruit of being in the old is death. The fruit of the old man is death. The fruit of legalism is death. That's the fruit. And he says this, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness. Guess what that little word is? You have your fruit into holiness. You have your fruit into holiness is that word I-C-E. It's not unto something. It's into something. There is a difference. Fruit into holiness. Holiness is a gift like everything else. And the end is what? Not just a little life, but everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. What? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, Bill, I'm sounding like an evangelist now. Yeah. Come on, Bill, give me a amen. Yeah. Bill's an evangelist. Every once in a while, I do the work of an evangelist, even though I'm a pastor. Come on now. We are free from that stuff. So whom the Lord sets free is what? Free indeed. So what? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Woo! Message Bible here in Romans 22 through 23. Listen. But now that you've found you don't have to listen to sin tell you what to do anymore, and have discovered it's a delight to listen to God telling you, what a surprise. A whole, healed, put together life right now, with more and more of life on its way. Work hard for sin your whole life, and your pension is death. Let me say that again. Work hard for sin. Work hard. Work hard for sin your whole life, and your pension is death. But God's gift is real life, eternal life, delivered by Jesus our Master. Go ahead and work for sin if you want to. But the wages is death. Does that put it in a little different perspective? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, a lot of people, I've heard all my life, do you believe in one work of grace or two works of grace? I'm telling you, get over it. Your whole life is a gift of grace. Your whole life is. Psalm 68, 19 says, blessed be the Lord who, what? Daily loads us with grace gifts. How many? Daily. Even the God of our salvation. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. The God of our salvation. You know, we sing Amazing Grace. When I got saved, I used to sing it all the time. My Baptist church. Until they kicked me out. But most of us just know what grace did for us. Most people just know what grace did for you. But see, grace, we need to know what the grace does in you. And not only that, you need to know what the grace does through you. It's not just for you. It's in you, and it's through you. Because Christ in you, the hope of glory, because he is grace. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is grace. He is truth. I'm telling you, it's not just grace to get you saved. It's grace for living. It's grace for you. It's grace in you, and it's grace through you. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto your servants that with all power we may stretch forth your hands to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus Christ. What? With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and a little bit of grace was upon them all. Great grace was upon some of them. How many? Does that mean all? What's the Greek for all? All. Great grace was upon them all. Great grace. Now listen, we're coming into a time of great grace, not just a little grace. You know, I'm going to jump ahead a little here if I can find it. Oh, thank you, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Here it is. Niles Cupp gave a prophetic word years ago. He says, we're going to see some of the greatest manifestations of healing we've ever seen because we are going to come boldly to the throne of grace. Because we are going to come boldly to the throne of grace and receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Years ago, I'm telling you, we're coming to that hour. We're going to see more manifestations of healing and deliverance than we've ever seen. You know why? Because we're going to come to the place to where we know it comes from the throne of grace, not come from your holiness or by your own hands. That's shouting ground. So we just got to back our ears and see it's already paid for. It's the Lord's mercies that we're not all consumed. Why? Because his compassions, they are new some mornings. They're new every morning. His compassions, His graciousness, His favor are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. What is it? Great is His faithfulness. Not just a little bit. His faithfulness is grace. Amen? Oh, Romans 5:2 says, whom we also have access by this grace, by the faith into this grace. Where? Into this grace. By whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we, what? Stand. Stand. That word stand is a good word. And rejoice in hope and the glory of the God. Standing in grace. Galatians 5:1 said, stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not again entangled in the yoke of bondage. Don't be again entangled there. For I say unto you, if you be circumcised, Christ will profit you a little.
Nothing.
Nothing. So stand in the liberty and don't allow anything to put a yoke of bondage back on you. Because we've been set free, and who the Son sets free is free indeed. Ephesians 6:11 says, stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? Because we can. All authority has been given to us in heaven and earth, and He said, go ye therefore. All authority has been given. And having done all, stand. Having your loins girt about with truth, have it all on. Put it all on. Why? Because you can stand against the wiles of the devil. Do you know that your ability to forgive or even love someone you can't do on your own? Your ability to love someone or forgive someone is a gift of God's grace. And you can't really do that until you understand the exchange life. As much as you'd like to know that, you cannot love or forgive out of that old heart. Because it's deceitful and it's desperately wicked. Amen? It is. Ephesians 4 says, be ye kind. Ephesians 4:29. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Forgiveness, you know what that word forgive says to us? To forgive. Forgive one another. You know what that word forgive really means there in that Greek? To extend favor. Extend favor to one another. Yeah. Extend favor. What is grace? Divine favor. What did God give us? Divine favor. Divine favor. What, when you forgive, what is that? Extend favor to someone. When you forgive, you're extending them favor. You're sending it away. That's what forgive means. Can you do that without a regenerated new heart? Absolutely not. Can you love without a new heart? Absolutely not. Because you don't have the heart of love, because God is love. And we have to have a new heart to do that. And the gifts of the Spirit are God's gifts of love to minister to the body of Christ. The gifts God gives you are not for yourself, they're for the body, those around you. Matter of fact, you're not for yourself, because we're all part of the body and we're all members one of another with joints and ligaments, and we grow up into one body, and every joint supplies that which his brother needs. And you're receiving from your brother what you need. That's what the body of Christ is all about. In Acts chapter 3, when they walk by and they grabbed this guy up and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And then he says, when he did, everybody, he looked, he said, why do you look so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? And it's his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him. Let me catch that again. Where did the faith come from? Him. If you have any faith, it's not your own. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man would boast. Too many years we had this thing, well, the reason you're not healed is because you don't have enough faith. Well, I want to tell you something. You don't have any faith. Amen. If you got faith, he gave it to you. If you got any faith, and he gives to every man, not some men, a measure of faith, and if you got any faith, it's his faith. Now catch it. You're living by the faith of another. We live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Listen, it's not our faith. Catch that again. And he, come on now. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given this man perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Paul was a southerner.
Amen.
Peter, you was a southerner, right? And you all. You all. See, we can get away with that around here. Acts chapter 4, 33, and with great power, remember we said that a while ago, gave them witness of the resurrection, and great grace was on them all. I got all circled in a cross over it. You know, we hear all the time people say, and I'm going to have to, Eric, be making your way up here. Woo! It's a good place to pull it in. How many of you thought when people, let's say Niles Cope, how many of you thought when Niles was sick and all this time we say, you know, if anybody ever deserved to be healed, Niles does. Anybody guilty? Let me see those hands. There's not a better guy in the world. But you know, God don't heal us on the basis of how good we are or how bad we are. It's a matter of His grace. See, our minds is messed up. We say, well, why? We don't know why. But I want to tell you one thing. It's a gift of God's grace, or we don't get it. And if you don't get past that thinking of they deserve to be healed, if anybody ever got healed, they should get healed. If God was to heal them, what would you think? It was on the basis of the fact they're good. He didn't heal us because we're good. He didn't save us because we're good. He saved us while we were yet sinners. He gave us grace while we were yet sinners so we could be good. We got to get past that thinking. And when we once do, like Niall said, once we realize the only way we can ever get anything, we therefore come boldly. What does it say? Half-heartedly or in guilt and condemnation and shame to the throne of grace? What does boldly mean? Like you have a right to be there. We're having communion today. We're going to come up here because we can boldly come to this communion table and receive what it has, the purpose it has for us. Why? Because He paid the price for us to freely have it. He said to His disciples, freely you have received, lambano, so freely give. It's freely. We still got to understand what the word freely is. Do we really yet still understand what the word freely is? We got to get a hold of that word freely because it means what it says. Freely. Come on, Eric. This is free this morning. It's been paid for. It cost a lot. But it didn't cost us. It cost Him. So we can freely partake of it this morning.